time for Greg Dickerson and Mark James on Sports Radio WEEI.
Well, 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 Greg Dickerson is in the house.
Every other week, baby.
Yes.
Every other week.
Well, so we got to, you know, enjoy the moment. I'm enjoying the moment. I've never been happier to see a middle-aged white guy more in my life about 10 minutes ago.
How dare you call me white?
But it's good to have you back.
Why do you have to bring up race? I don't understand.
It is what it is.
Why do you middle-aged white guys have to bring up race? I don't get it.
I don't know.
Yes. Millennials.
Yes. Well, listen to this, Greg. Last night, covered the Celtics-Hawks game.
That was a good game last night.
Listen, here's the thing. Atlanta has the worst roster in the NBA. Kevin Huerter?
First round pick.
I know, yeah. But like,
I'm just saying, first round pick this year.
Kevin Huerter, DeAndre Bembry, Justin Anderson, Daniel Hamilton out of UConn.
Best player is John Collins.
Jalen Adams. John Collins I knew at Wake Forest. So he was good. But the Celtics won 8 in a row. They look good. It's sort of, but I got to tell you, it feels like a fake 8-game win streak to me.
Why is that? I don't know.
Now, are they better than where they were after 20 games when they were 10-10? Yes. You know why? Because Brad Stevens decided to put Marcus Morris and the Marcuses in the starting line. I love that. I love the decision. And you can see when Jaylen Brown comes off the bench, it's messed up. Like, it's messed him up. He's not the same player anymore. And Terry Rozier, don't even get me started on those comments he made about the fans and the media being annoying.
So here's what happens, Terry. When you play well, we praise you. When you don't play well, we don't praise you. We criticize you. Very simple.
That's it.
The way it works.
Yep.
As someone once wrote, or as a baseball writer once said to a Red Sox beat writer, once said this to a player, after a player said, "Why do you criticize us and rip us all the time?" He said, "When you play well, I write well. When you play bad,
Phillips Auto Glass.
I write bad."
Yeah.
Very simple.
That's it. That's all you have to, and that's what it comes down to. And the Celtics suck their first 20 games of the season. They've been great their last 8. They got a back-to-back tonight in Detroit. So they, you know, they got
that's
that.
Tough. That's their first tough game.
Yeah.
Other than there was one of the, what was the one tough game they've had
at the Wizards?
They were without a bunch of players. They lost
Kyrie, last. Horford,
they
Hayward.
Lost last. No, Kyrie played in the Wizards.
No. They were out with Jaylen Brown and Hayward.
They suck. They lost to Brooklyn last night, for God's sakes. The only tough game, and it really wasn't that tough because they're so average, was the game in Minnesota. Tonight, that's a decent team. Drummond, Jackson, Griffin, back-to-back on the road. That's a test. I'll give him that. That's a tough test.
Yeah, I think Terry Rozier got really Hollywood last year during the playoffs, and you can see that, and he hasn't adjusted to the fact that you are nowhere near the player Kyrie Irving is. Kyrie Irving's healthy now, and I love Kyrie Irving. I think he's the most intriguing athlete in this city, and I love the fact that Kyrie Irving, when called out by the legendary great Tommy Heinsohn, and said that he looked out of shape. And Kyrie said, "You know what? Tommy was right. I needed to get back in shape. I needed to get better on the defensive end." Instead of pulling a David Price and humiliating the guy, you know, outside the team bus or team plane or whatever, he said, "You know what? Tommy was right." That's how you go about business. That's why Kyrie Irving's the quarterback of the team.
He knew Tommy would beat the crap out of him.
Well, yeah.
Even at his advanced age.
Right. You don't mess
get
with Tommy.
Get over here, little fella. I will squash you like a bug.
So, Kyrie, the team, listen, this team, and with Marcus Smart out there, from a defensive standpoint, it changes the complexion of everything. I love it. And I think this team is going to get better, obviously, after they play Detroit. They have a 4-game homestand starting.
It's a fake eight-game win streak.
It's a fake
eight-game win streak. Is an eight-game win streak?
I just couldn't believe
it. I wouldn't call it fake, though. You only play what the schedule is and what the schedule is in front of you.
Mm-hmm.
But I would look and I would say, I want to see more of a test.
Yes,
tonight's
that's
a test.
That's it.
You got Milwaukee coming up. You got Philadelphia coming up.
Even Charlotte at home.
Others. Charlotte at home is a decent
little
test.
What they did to you last game.
Right.
Yeah. With Kemba Walker.
But there are good tests coming up. I want to see two things. They have a Southwestern road trip coming up. I want to see that, and I want to see this team play with everybody.
Yeah. Well, you want to see them be healthy.
I want to see the collection of talent, see if everybody can play together. They couldn't play together earlier this year.
No, they couldn't. And I can tell you this right now, I'm glad they got back on, the right track of things, and now they're getting this thing started, but I'm not buying it yet. I don't know what it is. There's something about, it's a nice 8-game win streak. I can't believe it's their second longest win streak since 2011-2012 with Garnett, Pierce, and Allen. By the way, Garnett did a great job the other night on the NBA and TNT.
Say that again?
It was their second longest win streak since 2011-2012. The good old days, right?
Those were great times. That winning streak. So good. 2011-2012, that would be the...
Seven-game win streak.
No, that was seven-game. Sorry. Remember that so well.
Yeah,
That was the seven-game series against Miami in the Eastern Conference.
I know. And they just
just talk about that for the next two and a half hours. Let's talk about memories.
I just want to say this too. Doc's kid almost got traded last night, Austin Rivers,
yeah.
And then that didn't happen. It's amazing to me, and I'm sure you like this guy. I know you're a big athlete defender.
No, I'm not a big athlete defender.
Okay,
big defender of some athletes.
Okay,
has
there ever been anybody who has been born more in third base who has more things?
Say Austin Rivers.
Why
say Austin Rivers?
Yes, Austin.
He went to Duke. He was highly recruited athletes around.
High
school basketball.
I was at the game where he beat North Carolina at the last second on a three pointer.
How did he start on third base? Yeah, his father.
His father, he got the nice contract when he was with the Clippers, but I know there's certain people in this world.
He played well with the Clippers, too.
Listen.
He deserved it.
There's certain people in this world that I respect. What did your dad do for a living?
What does he do now? Nothing.
When you were growing up?
He worked in retail.
Okay. Jerry Callahan's dad worked hard, too.
Yeah.
You know, there's so many. Kirk Minahan's dad. My dad worked at Monsanto and then Solutia. I wasn't born.
What the hell is that?
It's
Monsanto?
Yeah.
Sounds like a cigar.
No, it's not a cigar. It's a chemical company.
Oh, okay.
But what I'm saying is that I wasn't born on third base like Mike Golic Jr. and Jack Collinsworth and all these dudes that just have this path. Joe Buck.
I call it the Lucky Sperm Club.
It is the charter member of the Lucky Sperm Club. Of course it's what it is.
But I would not call Austin that. Yeah, he grew up in a rich family, but he made his own way.
He did.
The NBA.
No, you have to be good in the car.
He's been a disappointment in the NBA, I will say that.
A total disappointment. Total. But that's what it is. I like the people.
How do we get on Austin Rivers?
Listen,
how do we get here?
I give someone like, people who make it on their own, doing their own. Dave Portnoy, Barstool. I just thought of him. But he took something.
Ass kiss.
He was handing out stuff.
Are you trying to get that job?
No.
Since Kirk turned it down, are you trying to get a
job
at Barstool?
No. But he took something. He was handing out these pamphlets and stuff to bars in Boston, and he turned it into a company. He's already sold it. He's still the CEO. He made something that he created. It wasn't given to him. He wasn't born with it. It wasn't Stephanie and Shane McMahon who were born at third base and they thought they hit a freaking triple.
You mean like most owners in the National Football League now?
Yes.
Yes. They've been handed the team by their dads?
Oh, Robert Kraft was not. Robert Kraft was not.
I didn't say Robert Kraft.
Okay.
I said most.
He was
a lot. A lot.
And by the way, another guy who wasn't handed anything, and as much people might not believe this, Jerry Jones was not handed. He made that.
That's right. He made himself, yeah.
He was a self-made guy. So that's it. All right. We didn't even talk about the play.
Are we going to do this for 2.5 hours?
No, but let's just hit upon it real quick right now. 617-779-7937. Frank, Mike in North Province, Mike in South Boston. Chris, we'll get to all your phone calls. That play should, I'm just going to leave it this. It should never happen to the Patriots. We know Gronk shouldn't have been out there. We all know that. It should never have happened to a team like the Patriots, which is why I think the Patriots come out tomorrow and blow out the Pittsburgh Steelers.
I'll say the one thing about the play, everybody likes to point the finger, and they should. They should point the finger at Belichick for not having Devin McCourty in there, for having Gronk in there. But about the guys on the field? Make a freaking tackle. Don't give up on the play. Make a G.D., not Greg Dickerson, but a G.D. tackle.
J.C. Jackson, Jonathan Jones, Kyle Van Noy.
On that play. Don't give up. I counted two or three guys who just basically gave up on the play. It was embarrassing.
Yeah, the whole thing was embarrassing. They should have never been in a Hail Mary formation.
Well, they should never have been in that situation anyway, Mark.
Yeah, I agree.
It wasn't that one play.
No.
You know, Tom Brady has a brain fart.
At the end of the first half,
Gostkowski.
Oh, he was garbage.
A chip shot field goal.
He was garbage. Yeah, he was garbage. And he missed it. He missed an extra point, too. So there was, like, there's so many things wrong about that whole play. And that should never happen to the Patriots. It should happen to a team like the Dolphins or the Jets or the Bills. The Patriots are smart. I said this one time on Nesson a year ago when the Patriots played the Raiders. I said, it's like the kids, the Ivy League Rhodes Scholars at Harvard versus the high school dropouts at Springfield Technical Community College. And you know what happened after that?
Is that where you went?
No, it was not where I went. Do you know the president of STIC, Springfield Technical Community College? Did you know what he did?
I didn't even know such a thing existed.
He called up Nesson and called me on my phone and sent emails to Nesson and how upset he was that I made that comment. So guess what? I'm making it again. The Patriots are Ivy League Rhodes Scholar students from Harvard. The Dolphins are dropouts who go to STIC, Springfield Technical Community College. It should never happen. Oh, by the way, you can go ahead and contact the program director at WEI because he won't give a crap either. So if you want to go ahead and make a complaint that I ragged on.
I would just like to say that I think STICs, Springfield Technical Community College, is a fine institution of higher learning.
Oh.
I want to say that on the record.
Yeah.
Springfield Technical Community College. Is a fine, fine higher learning institution.
You got nothing against it. I'm just saying it ain't Ivy League.
No, you have something against it. I don't.
And you know, here's the irony in all this. Belichick did not have a certain player on the field a la the Super Bowl. Devin McCourty was on the sidelines. Your best defender.
I think he was crying, too.
Who makes $10 million a year.
I saw tears in his eyes.
Was on the side. Greg, what's up with that?
I don't understand it. I didn't understand it at the time.
You got to be better than that. And I'll say this, and I said this before the season. My preseason Super Bowl was the Saints versus the Texans. And I'll say this right now. I hope I'm wrong, but no Patriot team with a losing record on the road has ever made it to the Super Bowl under Belichick and Brady, which means if they lose tomorrow, they're not going to the Super Bowl.
Well, right now, do you think they're going to the Super Bowl even before tomorrow?
No.
Yeah, I don't either.
No, not at all. The Chargers are the best. And I'm not just saying this. Oh, by the way, the other night, I did an in-game bet. Chargers were down 14-7. I never did an in-game bet before. I put Chargers on the money line. They came back and won. I loved it. Oh, my lock of the week tomorrow. You ready?
Yes.
Bet.
Well, hold on a second. Want to make this a nice, clear
Bridget,
tape.
Let's tape this, Bridget.
For Kirk and Callahan for Monday morning.
It'll be
Kirk
Mutt and Callahan. Yeah, Mutt and Callahan.
Got it.
Yep. Want to make this nice and clean.
Here we go.
For Mutt and Callahan on Monday morning. Mark James, lock of the day on Sunday.
Here we go. My Mark James, bet your kids' future college tuition, master lock pick of the weekend is the Indianapolis Colts -3 over the Dallas Cowboys tomorrow down in Indy. Colts -3. I've already bet it. So I personally bet it. So I'm in on it. I love it. This is going to be a pick. Andrew Luck they went to Houston last weekend, upset the Texans. Dallas has been on a hot streak. They're on the road. They're not as good as a team on the road. Andrew Luck and the Colts tomorrow. Folks, if you're at Twin River Casino, if you're anywhere near Twin River Casino, go by and bet the Colts -3 and thank me later. That's it.
Never in my life, never in the 47 years of my existence have I ever rooted for the Dallas Cowboys tomorrow. I will
you
root
love
harder.
Rooting against my picks.
I will root harder for the Dallas Cowboys tomorrow than I will root for the Patriots at 4:25.
Fair enough.
Okay?
Fair enough.
Go Cowboys.
Nope, fair enough. That's the game.
How about them Cowboys?
That's the game-winning pick. 617-779-7937. Oh, Red Sox stuff. The Reds, Joe Kelly leaves, which I thought for the Red Sox was addition by subtraction. The guy have over a 4.3 ERA in his career.
I liked him for 1 year. Three years, 25?
Yeah. No. And you can tell the Red Sox, clearly, even at that price, they weren't willing to keep him.
Of course they weren't.
They just said, you go. Go back to Riverside. You know, oh, you're going to love this, Greg.
Yes.
So guess who is having an orgasm on the air when Joe Kelly signed with the Dodgers?
I don't know.
Who? Jim Rome. Jim Rome, apparently, he loves Joe Kelly because Joe Kelly's from Riverside. He grew up a couple blocks away from Dodger Stadium.
The only Riverside I know is the park.
In Agawam, which is now Agawam. Six Flags. Right. Yes, absolutely.
So he grew up in Riverside.
He grew
Western
up in
Mass.
Riverside,
California.
And so there's that. So Jim Rome was like having a conniption and going nuts.
Was it a conniption or an orgasm? Which was it?
It was an orgasm.
Okay.
Yes. So there's that. But Jim Rome's going crazy for the Red Sox addition by subtraction. All I have is two words for Dave Dombrowski, who's done an excellent job because he led this team to the World Series. He made the trades with Eovaldi and Pierce, which got them over the hump. The only thing I'm going to say is this, Greg, trade JBJ. It's two words I have. Trade JBJ. You will never have him at a higher peak coming off winning the ALCS MVP. He's got value defensively. He's one of the best outfielders in baseball defensively, that is, not offensively. Trade JBJ. Get a reliever.
They love him, though.
But my question...
I agree with everything you say, but they love him.
If they traded JBJ, what would happen to Brad Foshow and Pete Abraham?
Pete Abraham would cease to exist, and Brad Foshow may just spontaneously combust.
There would be no boom sauce. There'd be no more boom sauce. You know, it would not the boom sauce thing would go away,
Good. Then trade him, please. Go away, please. Trade JBJ. If that's the fact, if that happens, trade him away. God, please. No more boom sauce.
Oh, hey, by the way.
Sure, it's a fine alcoholic beverage, but the saying, please, go away.
I know. By the way, someone just texted in the cesspool text line 37937. By the way, I'm from Western Mass. Please stop saying you're from Western Mass. You're making us look like D-bags. So there's that. Dickerson, prediction tomorrow. If the Patriots, they can't lose this game. There's no way they can lose this game. Absolutely
well, when
not.
You say there's
they can lose the game to the Steelers. What I'm saying is that they better not lose this game.
Because they lose this game, they still have a shot at the number two seed.
No, it's just if they lose,
I don't think they're going to the Super
they're
Bowl.
They're not going. If they
Either
lose
way.
This game tomorrow, Either they're not way. Going to the Super Bowl.
If they win tomorrow, I will still look at it and say, that Pittsburgh team's a real flawed team. You know, I'll still look at it that way. Good win. I'll say it's a good win. Give them credit for it. But I still don't think this team's going anywhere because they can't win on the road. And
can't
win
on the road. Can't win
on
the road. All right, we're getting all your calls. Mike, Trevor, Chris, Scott, 617-779-7937.
Bill.
We'll get into all your phone calls next. Dickerson and James on
Edward.
WEI.
Get ready. It's Dick and James. Greg Dickerson and Mark James on Sports Radio WEEI.
No.
I can't.
You can see you can say douche.
Yeah.
You can say D-bag.
Grocery bag.
D-bag.
Yeah.
But you can't say them together.
Am I allowed to say the G-D
Don't
word?
Do it, Greg.
Again, not Greg Dickerson. Am I allowed to say the GD word?
I believe that's okay, actually.
Goddamn is okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because I...
And JC as well, because Kirk used to say JC a lot.
On my way in today, I'm listening to music, and I heard a station. They're playing Life in the Fast Lane, Life in the Fast
right.
Lane
uh-huh.
by the Eagles. And there's one line in the song, haven't seen a goddamn thing. Call me doctor. I think I'm going to crash. So it comes to the GD line, and they bleep it out.
They
don't bleep it, but they cut it out. I'm like, are you serious? Is this where we are in this freaking life now?
Where
a rock station bleeps out or cuts out an eagle, a God damn it, and an eagle slot?
How about this? How about this? In Third Eye Blind, Semi-Charm Kind of Life.
Yeah. Semi-Charm Kind of Life.
Right, they bleep out crystal meth. Because he says in that song, meth, and they bleep it out.
I've heard cocaine bleeped out. Not the song, but the word in some songs.
They bleep it out. 617-779-7937.
You all suck. Yeah. It's all because of you. Yeah. Every single one of you.
That's what it comes down to.
This is what you've done to my life.
No. Yep. Trey JBJ, I just, again, to reiterate, is a .238 career hitter. Even in the ALCS where he was an ALCS MVP, he batted .200. .200. So his value will never be higher. Trade him, get something for him. Now, Joe Kelly's gone. Craig Kimbrell, more than likely gone. They're not going to sign him to a six-year deal, so he's pretty much gone. Now, what? Oh, by the way, we didn't mention the 900-pound gorilla in the room, Tim Nevritt. Not coming back for Red Sox broadcast.
I hadn't heard that. Really? Why am I always the last to know things?
So there's a thought. So there's a thought out there, Greg, that should they go more to a talk show
Absolutely.
For them? Yeah?
617-779-7937. Drive to Ryan Field is off the wall. Can you believe it? Danny and Quincy, back to you. Belichick, Bob Brady.
Hold on. Right. Brock Holt just stole second base.
God, I love that. Well, it's got to be more conversational.
I agree.
The two did not fit well together. Nevritt, I'm sure, is a fine, good, solid
play-by-play
guy. But to me, he's cookie cutter. He's vanilla.
Can I tell you?
A lot of other play-by-play guys out there.
Can I tell you one thing that Tim Nevritt did that drove me crazy this week?
This week? No. What did he do?
Yeah, he's
you going mean the comments on the Globe.
Well, he's on a worldwide self-pity tour, and it's to the point where it's like,
why? What else? What did he say?
Well, I mean, reading his comments and all this stuff, and you know, like making
the Red Sox wanted me, well, I didn't.
Well, or W, you know, like the WEI, you know, like in Entercom, he's just all, and it's not just being. It's just like, dude, we get it. People look at you right now as the sympathetic figure. Like, just leave it there.
Some people do. Apparently, he got another job pretty quickly.
Some people do. But the thing is this, don't go on the worldwide self-pity tour. It's not very becoming. Oh. It's quite unbecoming.
Should I not have done that 5 years ago when I got canned by the Celtics?
Yeah.
Then Comcast Sportsnet? Now you tell me.
Yeah. Don't go on the
I'm still on that tour, by the way. It's been a five-year tour.
I know. Yeah.
Five and a half years. Okay.
Just let the public.
Let it go.
Yeah.
Abby Chin bashing.
No, Abby Chin's fine.
I still like the Celtics, even though
you do.
Fired me.
When was the last Celtics game you've been to?
I think 2 years ago. I don't think I went to a game last year. Yeah.
All right.
I've only been to like two or three since.
No kidding.
Since the dark day that I was asked to leave.
I can get you tickets if you want.
Yeah, I appreciate that. How much? We talking?
No, I would try to get him to. If it's you and your son Cole, I would get him for free.
Oh.
I'd try to get him. Even though you still owe me $100 the Visa. Gift cards.
Well, we'll take it off the price of the ticket.
Okay.
Although you said free.
Well, I would try. I wouldn't want. Why would I? What would I want to get about you? I want you to take your son. It's father and son,
I could
and
pay
join
for
a game.
My son's ticket.
No. If I can, let me see what I can do. You're not going to get Golden State, so you know.
Jeez.
You know.
Okay.
You know. 617-779-7937.
I don't have any connections with the Celtics at all anymore. I need help.
I think you do.
No, I don't know anybody there anymore.
They
won't return my calls or emails or texts or anything. I've tried.
You know what someone said last night about you?
What?
He said prior to your...
What did this jerk say about me?
Prior to your sideline reporter days, he said you were the best PA announcer in Celtics history.
Wow. What drunkard said that?
No, he was a guy who worked in the media. Josh Polinsky?
Josh Polanski.
Polanski.
Yeah. He used to work with me at Comcast.
He said you were the best PA announcer in Celtics history.
Yeah, Josh has some mental issues.
So do you.
Yeah, I do too. Okay. So I understand what I understand what he's trying to say. He's absolutely wrong. The best PA guy of all time is Andy Chick.
Okay, fair enough. He was trying to give you a compliment, but you're like
an insecure pretty girl
who can't take it.
Me.
All right, 617-779-7937. Mike in South Boston. Thanks for holding, Mike.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Hey, Mike.
Hey, Mike.
You guys have totally thrown me off. I was calling up Greg.
Yes, sir.
Why are you on the radio? You are such a lazy bastard.
I am
you do
lazy.
Nothing. You offer nothing to any of the shows.
You know why I'm on the radio? Mike?
Really
because hold on, Mike. I want to answer your question, buddy.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay. I'm on the radio because they are desperate. They are so desperate for people. That's why.
Desperate and hot up. Okay.
Yes.
Mark.
And I will take that. I will take the charity.
You're okay with that?
Yeah, why wouldn't I be?
He's getting paid,
money. I'm getting paid. Why wouldn't I be? What do I want to do? Sit home?
That's your weakness.
Twiddle my thumbs?
As a man.
Huh?
That's your weakness as a man. Mark.
Mark.
How are you on the radio?
Mike, how are you? Let me ask you this.
Okay.
We're on the radio because you're not on the radio, except for the last minute and 5 seconds. So get to your point.
I'm not trying to be, and I don't want to be, but I listen all the time. Okay. I'm a big fan.
Okay. Thank you very much. God bless you.
It sounds like it.
But there's just such a desperation.
In terms of what?
A need of talent.
Desperation of talent?
Hold on a second, Mark.
Desperation of talent, what does that mean?
Yeah.
You're cutting up Minahan. You're cutting up Cal.
No, we didn't cut up. We didn't cut up either one of them.
Cut on Kirk?
Are you serious?
What did
either one of us say today about Kirk?
The rich elitist boys, because they come from some money that.
Mike.
Coming off like they have.
Mike, listen. You hear what you want to hear, Mike. We said he didn't. He made his own way. We gave him credit. We said he's the anti Joe Buck.
I don't think we ever even brought up.
I know, Mike. You got to listen to the show. You got to listen instead of hearing what you want.
Thanks for the call.
Yeah,
Mike. Have a great rest of the weekend.
Yeah, that was a great. Like, what a way to lead off the show. Chris and Saugus. We know it can only go up from there. What's up, Chris?
Oh no! Oh no! It could go down.
How did you guys let that buffoon on the radio?
Oh, I just wanted to let him. I wanted to keep him on for 3 or 4 minutes.
No, Merry Christmas to both of you.
Thank
guys.
You. Merry Christmas.
By the way,
Chris, I'm offended by that. Happy holidays. Totally offended by that.
Whatever floats your boat.
All right.
I love you. Hey, I miss you on the South East.
Appreciate that. Thank you.
I'm glad that you're back in the radio. I want to talk about the South East. I was on with Mark a little bit over a week ago. It was a panic button on the South East. They were mediocre. And Mark, I remember having this conversation with you. I said, you got to give them a little time to develop. And you could see them starting to play a little bit better. But there's one kid I want to talk about, that rookie, Robert Williams.
Yeah.
And, you know, I watched this kid play at Texas A&M.
Me too. I saw him play. Oh, yeah. And by the way, do you remember what he did in the tournament last year to North Carolina?
I didn't see that game. But I saw him play sporadically a couple years ago. He was better as a freshman than as a sophomore. And I think that's why his stock went down. But I'm not saying he should be a starting center, but from what they're getting from Lou Maloney, say, average Al, I think they need to start incorporating this kid as a weak side defender with him to help him. Because when you pair with Baines and Orford, I think you're limited defensively. I mean, you put this kid on the back end, he has a lot of protection. And that's what the
Chris, his upside, as they say on draft night, and potential is off the hook. Let me tell you this, too. I used to work in Atlanta, so I have a lot of connections. I used to work for the Hawks flagship station down in Atlanta. They used to tell me that Dominique Wilkins, Hall of Famer Dominique Wilkins, would basically scoff at Al Horford when Al Horford was a Hawk. Because Al Horford would literally...
So did Tommy Heinsohn.
I was going to say.
So did Tommy Heinsohn. Just before they signed him.
Right. Like
this guy, he's average.
Yeah.
I think he coined the phrase average Al, not Lou. It was Tommy.
I think he did.
This guy's not that good. Wait, what?
Chris.
We're signing him? I love him.
Yeah.
He's great.
They would talk about Al Horford. Al Horford would just say he wasn't feeling good one night, and then he wouldn't play for Mike Budenholzer. That this is Al Horford is soft. He is so soft. It's ridiculous. For Lou to call him average Al, Lou is giving...
Soft?
Lou, listen, Lou...
Wait a minute.
Hold on.
He is not soft.
No, wait. When he plays. When he plays, he's not soft. But there are nights he lit, like last night. Why didn't he play last night?
Because he's injured.
Oh, he's is hurt. He?
Yeah, why?
Okay,
he's got a knee. He's got a knee. It's
okay.
I believe it's
no.
Knee.
But what I've been told,
he's 30 something years old.
What
why
I've been told,
him
what I've
December
been told from my contacts and sources in Atlanta, he would take nights off if he just had a cold. He would take the night off, and Budenholzer would let him get away with it. And I don't know if that's listen, when he plays here, he plays hard. I'm not saying that, but I'm saying he literally takes nights off. For whatever reason, he takes the night off.
I'll let you finish, Chris. Go ahead, Chris.
No, I mean, I just think that they have better. Listen, when I think Mark is correct. When Al is on, the Celtics could be very good. I just think he settles now. He tries to hit that top of the key three-pointers, which, you know, it's great when he hits it, but that's the Celtics are going to get hurt by him taking those shots. When you put this young kid in there and you pair him up, you're better defensively, and you got enough playmakers there where, you know, the pick and roll with the lob comes into play with this kid. I mean, I just think the Celtics looked a lot more energized when he's in the lineup. And the other kid, 27, that Deeb.
Tice. Yeah,
I love Daniel Tice.
I think he's a better option. He gives you more because there's more energy. And I think Al's biggest asset before, I know you guys kicked me off, I think it's going to be his expiring contract.
Mm-hmm. But the thing is, he has a player option after this year for $32 million. He's not going to opt out.
I know, but going back to what you said about Al Horford and he's soft and why is he out? His knee has been bad.
Okay,
why would you push him? It's not so much Al; it's the team, and they're doing the right thing. Why would you push him in December against the Atlanta Hawks? Why would you do that?
Okay,
though, he's got some knee pain.
It's fair.
You manage it.
I'm just telling you from what I know that he pulled a lot of his stunts in Atlanta, and Dominique Wilkins would scoff at, because you know when Dominique played, guys, you'd have a broken leg and you would play. So Dominique would look down upon Al Horford for not playing night in and night out. Mike in North Providence. Go ahead, Mike.
Hi, guys. Yeah, I guess Mike's going to have all the Robert Williams calls because I'm calling about him as well.
No, but there's a lot of
Hey, he's looked great. So I love the pick when it happened. I love that pick.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of the things is I'm looking more big picture, not really just the here and now. We needed a big. We have young guards and wings galore, but not a single big that you could really project going forward to be able to man the five in the NBA. Finally, this guy looks like he can do that. And he's actually kind of almost the perfect style to do that, too, considering all of the offensive talent we have on this team. Because as a lob target, he's basically a very high-efficiency option when you go to him. But, you know, 9 times out of 10, he's just forcing the guy to defend him, which opens up other things for other people. I mean, that's why he's lob targets and elite three-point shooters are the big floor spacers in the NBA. They force people to always stay with them.
Mike, I don't even care about his offensive game. I just want to see him be a rim protector and a rebounder and force guys on the defensive or on the offensive end to make mistakes.
Well,
that's what I want. I want to see him on the defensive end. That's it. Any offense is gravy.
The guy he really reminds me of, my initial thing of seeing him was actually Bill Russell.
Mike.
Reminded me a little bit of Greg Steensma. Like,
for example, people are comparing Donovan Mitchell to Dwayne Wade, and and Wade's fine with it. Why? Not because he's as good as Dwayne Wade. They're similar style of play, similar heights. It doesn't mean, listen, you think that Bill Russell's some unique player that nobody else could play the same style of play? This kid is about the same exact height as Bill, maybe a little bit bigger. Not only is he springy and long, he is fast and quick. That was something that people forget about Russell.
Okay, the one thing I will say, Mike, before we compare him to the most successful pro athlete in pro sports. I understand. I understand what you're saying. Mike, to make more of a modern analogy, I would say his game reminds me so far of, like, DeAndre Jordan. Someone like that. Block shots, can rebound,
big.
Tough,
bulky.
bulky, and this kid's only going to get better. Let's, you know, and I understand what you're saying. I get, you're not saying he's Bill Russell. You're saying his style of play. I said the same thing last year about Jason Tatum with Kobe Bryant. Of course he's not Kobe Bryant, but Kobe Bryant in his second year wasn't Kobe Bryant. His style of play reminds me of Kobe Bryant. So that's it. 617-779.
Brad Wanamaker reminds me
a little bit. Yep.
Magic Johnson.
He did.
Just a little bit. Brad Wanamaker, Magic Johnson. I see that.
Yeah. Hey, Greg, I'm surprised you weren't at my last remote up in East Long Meadow.
Do you have another one tomorrow?
No, tomorrow I don't. No.
What happened? Why?
Well, I was going to be out of town originally tomorrow, Monday, and Tuesday. And then I was going to be at this place you've heard of, MGM Springfield.
I'm aware of it. I've never been, but I'm aware of it.
So then they ended up saying, okay, you can't do it, and they got Max Lane.
Oh. Okay.
So Max Lane will be there. And but I'll be there somewhere next week.
Someone who actually played the game as opposed to you.
Right.
Oh, I like that.
But you didn't come to the pizza shop a couple weeks ago.
I couldn't make it out there. I'm sorry. What was the name of it again?
The pizza shop.
No. I know. What was the name of the place?
The pizza shop. That's,
okay. Oh, that was it the was name.
Right next, it was right next to the gas station.
Oh, okay.
Right.
And right next to the barber shop.
Yeah,
and
right.
The bank.
Right.
Gotcha.
Yeah. It was great, though. It was great. 617-779-7937. Patriots panic mode for tomorrow against Pittsburgh. I'm not pushing the panic button yet. I don't like them. They better not lose this game, Greg. Otherwise, the Super Bowl streak of going the third straight year is over. It's over. No team, no Patriots team with a losing record has ever gone to Super Bowl on the road.
Are we going to break?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
617-779-7937.
How important is it to close out the road schedule with a victory and to kind of clear things up after a shaky start in the road this year?
Well, it's, you know, going on the road is always challenging in the NFL. I think it's, you know, you're playing good teams and they got, you know, there's a lot of tough road environments. I mean, it's always sellouts. And if we don't play well, it really gets the crowd into it. But, you know, it's a great environment, too, when you can go to a stadium and then play well and kind of keep the crowd quiet. I mean, it's a great feeling. So it's a hard thing to do there. You know, a lot of these games will come down to the wire. And, you know, we're expecting a 60-minute game.
That was Tom Brady. And how you compartmentalize and overcome the residual effects and the hangover of what happened in Miami on the 69-yard double lateral play to Kenyon Drake, which went for a touchdown, and then turn around. If there's one team that can block all that out and just concentrate on the task at hand, which is Pittsburgh tomorrow at Heinz Field, it's the Patriots. But it just, this team, if you can't, like, the most impressive road win of the year was in Chicago. They handled the Bears.
Right. Chicago wasn't the Chicago that we know now.
No, but they had, don't forget.
Still a good team.
Yeah.
And they still had Khalil Mack.
Yeah, right. But
that was an awful, awful game by, why am I blanking on the quarterback?
No, Trubisky. He threw three picks.
Trubisky was awful.
Three picks.
Oh, God, was
yeah,
terrible.
He was horrible. He was horrible when they won last Sunday night against the Rams. He threw three picks. But they got that defense. You look at the Patriots and Steelers, and the one thing, obviously, from the coaching standpoint, Mike Tomlin, 2-7 career against the Patriots. One of those wins came in 08 against Matt Castle. So it's
really buy into that stuff, and I've heard that a lot this week about, oh, well, Brady's this against the Steelers. He's 11-2, and the Steelers, you know, haven't beat the Patriots in the last 7 years. Yada, 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 yada. What does 2005 mean? What does 2012 mean? Is this the same? Is this 2018 Patriots team? Do you have the same confidence in them going into Pittsburgh that you would have had a year ago or 3 years ago or 5 years ago or 10 years ago?
I have as much,
my answer is no.
Well, I have as much confidence of this team as I did a year ago, but not 2 years ago in 2016 or 4 years ago in 2014. I don't have as much confidence. Like, I think this team is as good, if not better, than last year. I still don't think they're going to get to the Super Bowl.
Oh, I think last year's offense was much better than this year's offense.
But the one
much
thing,
better.
You didn't have Edelman.
Not that this year's offense is
right,
terrible.
Right, but you didn't have Edelman. You have Amendola. I mean, I go back to this Patriots team.
You had a better Gronk last year, too.
The three things that Belichick has done in the calendar year of 2018, obviously Super Bowl, not playing Malcolm Butler, what he did with the formation on Sunday when the Patriots, excuse me, when the Dolphins were 70 yards away from the end zone and selecting Phony Michelle in the first round of the draft.
No, I think it's Sony.
That's what I said, Phony Michelle.
No, no, his name's Sony Michelle.
I said that. That's exactly what I said.
Sony Michelle.
That's what I said. Okay. Those three things this year make me question.
Well, why is it Sony Michelle's fault? Why are you making fun of his name when it's not his fault that he was a first-round pick?
Well, it's not his fault. It's the Patriots' fault.
I'm really a third-round pick. Wait to draft me in the third round.
They shouldn't have taken any running back in the first round, number one. You don't touch running backs in the first round. Undrafted out of Colorado. Okay. Undrafted. Alvin Kamara, second round. Aaron Jones.
Oh, yeah, we know.
We just keep going. Did you see the two plug and play guys the Chiefs just put on the field the other night?
We all know that it was a terrible pick. And unless it's Saquon Barkley, or Ezekiel Elliott, you don't take a running back in the first round.
Exactly. And the other night, the Chiefs lost Kareem Hunt. They're not going to be as good. Daryl Williams and Damian Williams. It was like Kareem who? Running backs are the most devalued position in football, in sports.
It's not devalued.
It's so devalued.
It is a position you can get anywhere. It's like
a guard. Why you don't take a guard in the first round.
You need a great guard, but you can find a great guard in the fifth round.
Look at the last few drafts for Belichick and the Patriots. Give me a first or second round pick who's panned out. Who? The last first round that panned out for the Patriots is Malcolm Brown. And how good is he?
Not very good.
Right?
I wouldn't say. Well, he's been okay. Right. He started a bunch of games.
He's serviceable.
Yes.
He's a serviceable.
And he'll be gone at the end of this year.
Right. Exactly. So the Patriots keep missing on the draft. You took Isaiah Wynn.
We don't know anything about him.
He got hurt in the preseason.
Camp.
Well, hold on. No, Stephen A. Smith said Isaiah Wynn's going to be huge in tomorrow's game.
Oh, okay.
Huge for tomorrow's game, the matchup.
Really?
Yes. He also said that he's going to do a big job on protecting for Curtis Martin.
I will tell you that I'll play that game then.
Okay.
Danny Amendola has 10 catches and 2 touchdowns for the Patriots tomorrow.
He probably will. I think Irving Fryer has a big game.
Castle throws 3 touchdown passes for the win.
I think that's going to be a big game for
I'm sorry. Jimmy G.
Yes.
Let's update it a little bit. Jimmy Garoppolo.
617-779-7937.
Why do you have to make fun of people? People make mistakes. Why do you have to harp on people's mistakes?
Oh, I don't know.
Why would you do that? Poor Stephen A. Smith.
Oh, I know.
He wouldn't do that to you.
He makes over $3 million a year.
But he wouldn't do that to you. He wouldn't make fun of you. He wouldn't call you out for mistakes that you make.
I think he would.
Not that you make mistakes.
No, I do. But Joe in a car, what's up, Joe?
Hey, yeah, I was calling in about the Al Horford comments you were making earlier and Dominique Wilkins coughing at him specifically when he was there with Budenholzer.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, I got to call you out on it because I don't think that ever really happened. I think Dominique Wilkins was scoffing at the concept in general that Budenholzer imposed or which came over from the Spurs organization where some players are rested on the second night of a back-to-back. And if you look at the Hawks roster for those couple seasons that Horford was there, every player on that team played 75, 76, 77 games. And, in fact, Horford's last season in Atlanta, he played all 82. So I don't know where you're getting this concept that he took nights off because he didn't feel good or whatever, but that's just a bunch of bull.
Well, Joe, he had two years
where he was severely injured, where he played 11. Hang on, Joe. He had 2 years where he was severely injured, played 11, and played 29. That was it.
Severe injuries are one thing.
Joe, I'm defending you. I'm on your side.
Okay. Yeah, because if you take those 2 seasons out, I mean, he averaged playing, I don't know, looking at the stats, because I hate to bring stats to an anecdotal argument you're trying to make, but the statistics say he played on average about, I don't know, 77, 78 games a season.
I didn't cover Al Horford in Atlanta, but watching him from afar and watching him up close in the playoffs, I always thought Al Horford was a tough player.
I don't deny my source because he's been with the Hawks for 3.5 decades. How long have you been with them?
I grew up there. So
oh, okay.
Well, Dominique Wilkins can't be wrong.
No.
Can't be wrong?
No.
I know Cedric Maxwell. Max can be wrong.
Okay,
fair enough. And Max knows more about basketball than I'll ever remember.
Dominique Wilkins scoffed at the entire concept of resting players, not Al Horford specifically.
Joe, I'm not denying that part, but I'm also saying it was Al Horford specifically.
You got the quote?
Joe, this was something that was off the record.
Then why don't you say it on the air?
Well, because
it's off the record. Why would you say it on the air?
Because we're in Boston. We're not in Atlanta.
Well, it's still off the record.
I'm not telling you to divulge your source. Just
quote. Joey already did. He already divulged it. He blew it.
Yeah. Well, it wasn't Dominique, though. Dominique didn't tell me this.
Well, I thought you said Dominique did.
No. Dominique Wilkins said this to my yes. Paul in Westfield, you're up next, Paul.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. How are you?
Hi. How are you, Paul?
Well, I want to take away the doomsday profiteers, and if I could paint one quick picture without getting spun, slashed, and magically hung up on.
Well, I'm going to turn off my mic so I don't interrupt you, Paul.
Come on, King James. It's up to you guys to be above and beyond the pundits. And we agree that was a shocking ending in Miami.
Of course.
If I was to put $1 million on the table and say, all right, look, they've Hail Mary passed before. He could catch it and run. We want a jumper to break up a Hail Mary pass that's not going to make it to the end zone, but he might catch and run. Or they're going to double lateral and do a play that's never been done in the history of our team. What would you bet on?
I would bet on that the last not happening, the latter not happening.
Yes, sir. So that creates reasonable doubt that it turned out the way it did. And Gronk, to object to the other caller, had a record 108 yards. It was his best game up to that stumble. And Tom didn't blame Matt Patricia or Josh and say, hey, man, if he's in my ear, it's up to me to know that we didn't have a timeout. That was my mistake, because the winner does not blame the next guy. And Gronk said he made a mistake because winners don't dwell and blame. Imagine.
Paul, here's the one thing that I can't get over from this game, and it comes down to this, is how this team were able to let that transpire. That does not happen to the New England Patriots. They are the smartest kids in the class, in their grade. It's like this should never happen. That happens to the Raiders or the Jets or one of those buffoon teams. This doesn't happen to the Pats. It should never happen to a Bill Belichick coach team. And it did. And it's something, even now, it's surreal, Greg. I look back, like, did that really happen? It did, unfortunately. And the Dolphins are going nowhere.
You know what I did afterwards? After about 5 minutes, and somebody else said this to me, too, the other day. I think it was Tom Curran said
Tommy
the same
Curran.
Thing I said. We laughed. After about 5 minutes of MFing them, I laughed. He said he laughed. It was just like,
right.
You gotta be kidding me.
Right.
They lost this way?
I know.
Really?
I know.
The Patriots?
Yeah.
How does that happen?
There's so many. And Gustowski, seriously. I mean, it's just unbelievable with this guy. And he's going to cost the Patriots even a bigger game down the stretch if he continues this crap. Missing field goals,
he's been pretty good this year.
He was horrible.
He had a bad game.
He had a horrible
game.
A Mason Crosby moment. 617-779-7937.
Like Mason Crosby.
Your thoughts, Pat Steelers, if you want to, hit upon what happened on Sunday with the Pats Dolphins. I say trade JBJ, and there's a part of me that thinks Lou Maloney is giving Al Horford too much credit, calling him average, because I think he's a little soft.
He's not soft.
617-779-7937. Dickerson and James.